Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Well, good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've tuned into this program today. My name is Brent Russett. I am the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I have been pastoring there for 27 years. And one of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written so long ago has connects with our world right now. Now, I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time, and I hope that this message is really encouraging for you. I know that others of you think of yourselves as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. I'm hoping that you will hear something that will encourage you. I know that some of you are just curious about how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are in your spiritual journey that you'll find this program interesting, informative, and I believe that for those of you who desire it, that God can use words like this to help take you a step closer to Him. Today, I want to take you to the last part of Romans chapter 8, and I want to talk to those of you who are Christians and ask the question, what should you expect from your faith now? What should you expect from your faith in this life? Now, there are some of you, I would call them distortions of the gospel, would say, if you have enough faith, then you are going to be completely healthy and you are also going to be wealthy. The crazy thing is that there are health benefits to living in line with the gospel, and there's a spiritual dynamic to wealth so that when you live out the gospel, it helps your finances. Some people have taken those realities and they run with them and they said, well, if you have enough faith, you should be healthy and wealthy. And that's a distortion of the gospel. But what should your expectation of living out of the gospel be right now? You know, some people think that if you're living out the gospel well, if you believe the right things, that you'll never have to deal with things like mental illness. After all, we're supposed to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Again, the gospel rightly believed and rightly lived out can do amazing things for your mental health. But I think it's a gross distortion to think that it's a panacea for chemical imbalances and mental illness. But the question is, what should your expectations of living out the gospel right now be? There are some people who think that, well, if you're living out the gospel, that you should always be strong. You could handle anything that comes your way. If you're experiencing any kind of weakness, if life is becoming overwhelming, then you must be doing something wrong. Is that true? What should your expectation be for living out the gospel right now? There's some people think that, well, faith doesn't really make a difference in this world. We live like everyone else. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. And there really is no difference at all between a Christian and a non-Christian. We're just all kind of muddling through. In other words, these people have no expectation of the gospel right now, but they're hoping for heaven. Is that what it means to be a Christian? Just get by the best we can right now and we live in hope of heaven? I got to say that it's good and right to hope in a time when Jesus will come back. It's good to have hope for the next life. But we live in a world right now What do we hope for now? So what is it that you expect from your Christian life? What do you expect as the results of living out the gospel in your life? What will that do for you? Well, I want to take us to God's Word and see what it tells us in this regard. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." The first thing I would have you note is that the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles of all times, one of the greatest Christians of all times, experienced suffering. So when people tell you that if you're a Christian and you're doing all the right things, that life will be sunshine and roses, well, they're probably smoking something that's not yet legalized. Paul says, "In the present, I am suffering. But in the future, a glory will be revealed that will make this suffering look trivial. So I'm looking forward to that day." But not only me, he says, he goes on and says, all creation is looking forward to that day. Verse 19, "For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God." Paul says, it's not only us who are suffering, but we live in a world where creation itself is suffering. Earthquakes, floods, droughts, decay. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, We know that the whole creation has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Paul says that in the present creation groans, but in the future it will be liberated and made new. Paul is suffering. Creation is groaning, and he goes on. In verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, he talks about that in other places. He's talking about Christians. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We who are Christians groan inwardly. If you've ever woke up in the morning with the pain of arthritis already there, you know what it means to groan inwardly. If you've ever got the news of a friend who has been diagnosed with cancer, you know what it means to groan inwardly. If you've ever just received the news of a family member who's going through a marital breakup, you know what it means to groan inwardly. If you've ever been walking through this world's version of hell, well, you'll know what it means to groan inwardly. Life is hard. Verse 23 says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Life is hard, but in the middle of those challenges, we're waiting our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. When Paul talks about sonship, it's not a gender thing. Paul is making a reference to how it was with the sons in Romans' time. They inherited from their fathers, and Paul is talking about our inheritance as believers, whether men or women. Verse 24 says, "For in this hope we were saved, but a hope that is seen at all is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Paul here is obviously talking to followers of Jesus, people in whom the Spirit dwells. Life is hard. That's a universal thing. It so happens that it happens to most of humanity. Everyone groans. We as Christians groan. But we wait as well. We hope as well. We live in hope. To sum it up, we suffer. At present, creation groans. At present, we inwardly groan, and we wait and we hope. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking that, well, I'm the minister of melancholy, the reverend of wretchedness, the pastor of pessimism. Well, don't blame me. This is what Paul is saying. The Bible, of course, also teaches that life can be really good. It is good to celebrate and to love and to laugh. But I find passages like this really helpful. I think one of the temptations in our culture is to think that when life is hard, we must be doing something wrong, and there must be a quick fix for it. Too many Christians are taken by surprise when suffering comes their way. The reality is that sometimes life is just hard. And I know very few people who, after you get to know them, that you don't find they carry some deep hurts. It may be a past trauma or a present relationship or a significant worry, or they're walking with someone who is really hurting and their love for that person causes them to hurt. And if I'm describing you, I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes in life we suffer. Creation groans. We groan. We wait. We hope. But that is not all that is going on. We can expect more from our Christian life than just that. Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, and he knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We're going to unpack that verse in a few moments, but before we do that, we're going to listen to Matthew Ward sing Faithful and True. In these verses in Romans chapter 8, there's something else going on. The Holy Spirit helps, it says. You see, in the middle of a mess that is life, we're sometimes weak and we don't have the strength to go on. Sometimes we're confused or perplexed and we do not know how we ought to pray. And in the middle of our weakness and in the middle of our confusion, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. You see, as Christians, the Holy Spirit is in you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what is going on in your mind. He also knows what the will of God would be in your particular set of circumstances. And he's interceding for you in accordance with God's will. In the middle of the mess, in the middle of hardship and difficulty, God cares about what is going on in your life. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is standing in your place and speaking to God on your behalf. He is praying that the will of God will be worked out in your life. These are deep prayers with wordless groans. God is on your side, and in the middle of the pains of life, God is there, and he's cheering you on. Here's the result of those prayers. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. This may be the most misused verse in the Bible. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good, because it's not. It doesn't mean that everything will turn out good in this life, because everything does not. What it does mean is that God is working for your good in the middle of a bad situation. What it does mean is that in the middle of a world gone wrong, God has and can work in the middle of those difficult situations for our good. It doesn't mean the situation is good. It means that good can happen even in the middle of a bad situation. But note the qualifiers to this verse. God is working for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When we became a Christian, you responded to the call of God. No one comes to the Father except the Father draws him. You're a Christian. You've been called according to his purposes. And your love for God can sometimes grow lukewarm. It can grow cold. You can lose your first love. This promise was made to those who love God. There's a reason for that. When God says he's working for your good, his definition of good is found in verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The definition of God's good is that you are conformed to the image of his Son. See, when humanity sinned, the image of God was broken in us. Part of what that means is that the image of God is reflected in us and his character. We love as God loves. We reflect his love. We reflect his goodness. As God is merciful, we reflect his mercy. The only way to do that well is to engage in our own prime vocation as worshipers of God. But there's more to the image of God than that. Part of what it means to be made in the image of God is that we were given authority to work in this world for its good. We were given authority to work in this world in a way that makes the world flourish. We have a vocation, first of all, to worship God, and then to reflect God, and then to be builders of this world. Each of you have been given a vocation. You are put here to work together to make this world a better place. You're called to help build this world into a place that flourishes. Of course, when sin came into the world, the image of God was broken. We no longer worship God, but we worship the things that God created instead. We no longer reflected God. We were not as loving as he is loving. And more than that, we gave our authority over to idols and we lost our ability to live out much of our vocation. Oh, you see hints of the image of God in us, but it's broken. And there are still some vestiges of the image of God, but not much. And our world is broken and it groans and we're broken and we groan. But in the middle of our groaning and our weakness, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He's asking God to work in and through us so that God's will would be accomplished. God hears that prayer, and he's working for our good in the middle of a challenging things in life, in the middle of the mess. He's working out our good so that we might be conformed to his image, the image of his Son, so that we'd have God's image restored in us so that we might be all who we were created to be. In other words, if you love God, he's going to take what is happening around you and he's going to use it to restore the image of God in you. He's going to take the things that make life hard, and he's going to help you to be like Jesus. In the middle of a messy, broken world, God is working for you to restore you into all that he has created you to be. What could you expect from the gospel in your world right now? If you love God, you can expect that he will be working to restore his image in you, to make you like Jesus. So let me remind you where we've been. Paul says, at present, we're suffering, but the glory that is coming will make the suffering look trivial. At present, creation is groaning, and not only that, we are groaning, and we're waiting for the glory of God to be revealed, and until that time, we're living in hope. And in the middle of our weakness, when we don't even know how to pray for ourselves, the Holy Spirit groans for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. And if we love God, God's going to work for our good in our lives. And as part of that good, he's going to be restoring God's image in us. And that's where we come to verse 31. I love this passage from Romans 8, 31 to 39. Here's what it says. What shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. See, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you expect of the gospel in this world? You can expect that God will be for you. You can expect that God will be with you. You can expect that the grace of God will give you what you need. And when life is hard, and when the world condemns you, God says, no, she's my child, he's my child. It's God who justifies. Nobody else's opinion matters. More than that, you can expect God's love to be directed towards you. God really loves you. God is on your side. He will be faithful to you in the middle of hardship. It doesn't mean that life will be easy. Verse 35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Life is still hard. In this world, you will have trouble. There will be hardship. There can be famine. There can be danger. There can be real need. In this world, you will face hardship. But listen to God's promise for you. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who loved you, your sufferings will not conquer you. Through him who loved you, your sufferings will not get the best of you. Through him who loved you, whether you face want or trouble or hardship, you can overcome. It means that your suffering and your troubles do not have to define you. They do not have to make you who you are, because you are something more than that. You're one for whom Christ died. You're one whom Christ loves. You're a person who God is on their side. I want you to know through him who loves you, even your weakness, your needs, your perplexity, your difficulty, it doesn't define you, because you're more than conquerors through him who loved you. Romans 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says, I want you to know that you conquered all this and more. And Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love that God has for you puts everything that is wrong in your life into perspective. The Spirit of God is interceding for you that God's will be done in your life. If you love God, then God will be working for your good, even in difficult situations in your life. And through the love of God, that unwavering, unending, unfaltering, steady, consistent, deep love of God, you are more than conquerors. His love is at work in your situation. So your situation does not define you, but His love defines you. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you're in one of those phases where life is hard, where you're groaning, I want you to know that it's not unusual or hard. If you're in one of those places where you have lots of needs and not many provisions, I want you to know that God's still there. I want you to know that God is faithful. If you're in one of those places where you're suffering, I want you to know that your suffering doesn't define you, that God is there. I want you to know that He walks with you and He cares for you deeply. I want you to know that you can trust in Him. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. What's going to happen is that you're going to sense that God is in love with you even in the middle of suffering. What can you expect? Jesus is interceding for you. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. You can expect that God will be there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are feeling pain and suffering, for those who are conflicted and confused, for those who have people they care about and they're burdened for them. I'm asking, Lord, that you would meet them right where they are. I pray, Lord, that their suffering would not define them, but that you would define them. I'm praying, Lord, that you would give them an overwhelming sense of your love and your grace. I'm asking, Lord, that you would allow this truth of your faithfulness to sink in, that they can trust you wherever they would find you, wherever they would find themselves. Lord, I'm asking that they would reach out to you and they would find you very close. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening this morning and for walking with me through God's Word. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my privilege to bring you some good news this morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website, and be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.